Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. With me today, I have Kelly Goumont. And how are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And it's awesome to have you here. John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm ready for part two.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I'm glad to have both of you here.
That's an inside joke, folks.
Yeah. At my expense. Anyhow, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Bushel, the people that make the really easy-to-use mobile device management solution. Wow, Kelly's really excited.
I love them.
Yeah, me too.
You could just hand it over to me for the Bushel advertisement, and I will just tell you how I actually use it. It's terribly exciting to me.
Well, you're just going to have to hold it hold it for a few minutes, because, okay. Because first, I want to talk about... Well, one of the things we were discussing before the show, and this came out of this whole discussion about how people are getting obsessed with their devices, and it led to the whole thing about people feeling compelled to answer their phone or pick it up and look at it when it dings at them, mm-hmm.
And screen time
and screen time
and the expertise with which the content developers capture eyeballs and mesmerize us with all their outpouring of cool things to watch. And
yes.
It's never ending, and it's getting better and better, and it's getting more and more.
Well, yes. And what really got me thinking we need to talk about this was, Kelly, when you said that your phone was ringing the other day, and Mr. Kelly was quite taken aback by the fact that you weren't rushing over to answer it.
Right. I was in the middle of helping him work something out. We were doing some network troubleshooting at his desk, and my phone I had set on my desk, and so I had my back to it, and it went off. And I knew it wasn't ringing, and I knew it wasn't a text message, which meant it wasn't a live person attempting to reach me. Because you can set custom vibration patterns, mm-hmm. and my phone was on vibrate. So I have a double, it sort of goes buzz buzz when I get a text so that I know it's text message. And when the phone rings, it's the long series of buzzes. And so since it was just one little buzz, I could tell it was something on my phone notifying me of something. And whatever it was didn't matter. And he said, "Don't you need to get that?" And I said, "It's not a text. It's not a call. So no." And he had a really hard time sort of wrapping his head around how I could just let that go. But my approach to my phone, this is another one of those times where I find that I am in the breathtaking minority. I feel like my phone works for me, not the other way around. And so whatever it's telling me about can wait a few minutes while Mr. Kelly and I work out the problem that we're working at across our network. And then I can come back and find out what it is later. Thanks to the magic of Notification Center, I can come back, you know, a few minutes later, an hour later, and I can see what that notification was, whatever, it, you know, whenever it happened. And so for me, like, it's thanks to Notification Center, I am way less interested in what my phone was just trying to tell me because I can go back later and find out. So I don't need to worry about it.
Kelly, my heart has grown two sizes for you this day.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, John.
Yes, it is.
So I feel this is a slight disappointment to fans of the show who were waiting for one of us to tell the other they were wrong, but... But in this case, I feel it. But I really do feel like my phone is there to tell me things that I wouldn't otherwise know about, and I will find out about them momentarily. You know, I'm in the middle of something, or I'm, you know, like sometimes when I'm making dinner, like something will go off. And I'll be, oh, all right. And one of the nice things for me, one of the things that makes that workflow actually work is, and this is sort of a plea and a shout out to app developers, let me have a custom sound for your application. If everything is using the system default, I have no idea what that is. but like my Twitter app is Twitterific from Icon Factory, and it makes a very specific noise. So I can tell that was Twitter telling me something, or I can tell, like I have a custom text message for, I have two, actually. I have one I use for people I like, family, and then I have one for like everybody else. So
did
when
you
I
make
get
your
any
own?
Kind of, no. What I did was I took one of the BB-8 alert noises that David Sparks created and put on his site, and I put it on my phone. So
awesome.
It sounds like BB-8, and that way I can tell this is like, you know, my parents or my husband trying to get a hold of me, or this is somebody texting me, and anything that goes doo-loo, I have a, like, I generally will not bother with the noise at all, and I may not even leave the notifications on for that app, or I will find a better way to get notified of the same sort of thing if you don't give me at least the opportunity to customize the alert tone, because that's how I tell what my phone is trying to tell me. Do I need to stop whatever I'm doing in the midst of making dinner to go look at what my phone is trying to tell me? So to me, that's a super, super helpful thing. And again, like, I'm the boss of my phone. My phone is not the boss of me. The Facebook in my phone is not the boss of me. So those are things that I always try to make sure that I have perspective on. Like, it's more important to me to be sitting at dinner with Jeff and John and Dave and Brian and talking to them and not talking to people on my phone. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't all sit down and have like 30 seconds of silence while we all check in on whatever check-in service when we go out to dinner. But then we all put our phones down and have an awesome conversation. And that's the thing that I think is very different for a lot of people. And John, you made a really excellent point before the show when we sort of brought this up, that like particularly like my parents and Jeff, you had mentioned a similar situation. Like, if the phone rings, you answer it because it's a thing.
It's somebody on the other end is likely important. Somebody in your life experience wants to talk to you. It's a person. These days it's become a marketing tool, and it's typically somebody calling you for donation or a political group or some sort of other ad or some call that you really don't want to get. And so while our parents were conditioned to answer a phone because they knew there'd be a friend on the other end or a family member, we're conditioned to know that it's probably somebody we don't want to talk to, and we ignore it.
I even have that on my phone. If you are calling me and you are not a contact in my phone, you will go to voicemail.
Well, that's another gripe I have is that I have I've had landlines, and now I have this Verizon Home Phone Connect, which is basically a cell phone device that connects to my cordless phone system in the house. So it's really a cell phone that connects to all the cordless phones in every room. And so while technically it's a cell phone, it kind of functions as our landline. And the thing that bothers me about it is that when my cordless phone handset rings, it doesn't connect to my iOS 9 contacts list. So I don't see the caller ID converted to a person's name. And I've never seen a company try to tackle that, and it really annoys me. Well, and I think that's probably why a lot of people don't even bother with any kind of landline or any kind of system like I've got from Verizon, but just simply live on their cell phone alone, because all they need is their smartphone to tell them whether they need to answer that call, because it looks up in their contacts list and just tells them who it is.
Well, and the thing that is interesting to me is how that viewpoint has evolved, because you had said, like, our parents were conditioned to know that it was, but what it was that the person calling was calling a person in your house. You know, it was the friend of someone in your house. Maybe it wasn't you. Like, when I was growing up, you know, a lot of people called other people in my house who were not me. And every time the phone rang, it rang exactly the same.
Good point. So you had to do the relay.
Right. So I always answered the phone because I was usually sitting closest to it. But if I'm, if I answer it, that doesn't mean it's for me. There's a 25% chance it's for me. There's three other people who live in my house. So maybe it's for me. Maybe it's for my mom or my stepdad or my brother. When you call my phone, my mobile phone, my iPhone, I know you are calling me. You may be a robot, you may be a spammer, but you're calling me. You're not calling Mr. Kelly. You're not calling my mom. You're not calling my dad. You're calling me. And that was one of the reasons we actually ended up eliminating the landline at my house years ago, was I'd had my phone line, my mobile phone number for a long time. And that's what I gave people. If you want to call me, call this number.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Kelly hadn't gotten that far yet. And so basically what it turned into was whenever the landline rang, I wouldn't answer it because I knew it wasn't for me. If anybody wanted to talk to me, they called my cell phone. So eventually he got a cell phone too, so that I could get a hold of him when he wasn't home. And then that was the end of it. Like at that point, the landline just became robocallers and we were like, let's kill it. So we did.
Question, Kelly.
Yes.
There used to be a federal law prohibiting marketing calls to cell phone numbers. Did that change? Uh-huh. Somebody told me that it did.
Yeah, it changed. It had to have changed because I get so many marketing calls to my phone now.
So you've got to go to the do not call list, right, for cell phones.
Yes, but I have noticed that when I do get a live person and tell them it's a mobile number, they tell me they're going to remove it and hang up.
Oh. So maybe there's some wrinkle.
There has to be because I'm paying for that time. It's not an unlimited, you know, most cell phone plans are not unlimited minutes.
True.
Even still. So that was the whole reason that it happened in the first place, was because these people are actually costing me money because I don't have an unlimited talking plan. So right. those 3 minutes that I spend waiting to talk to somebody to tell them to stop calling me are actually costing me part of my mobile allotment.
Don't you love the phone calls that say, when you pick up, they say, please wait. Please wait for an important message. Please wait.
Not love. Actually, it's the other thing.
Yeah, I mix those up sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we need to move on, but okay. I'm curious. Listeners, do you feel like we have become slaves to our mobile devices? And I'm curious, how do you deal with just the onslaught of information and calls and messages that we're being bombarded with every day? I'm really curious to see how other people deal with this. So let me know. You can send me how can you get a hold of me? I almost said you could send me a text, but how about if I have you send me tweets instead? That would be at TMO Daily, or emails, observations@macobserver.com, or leave comments on the show notes. And actually, if you know my phone number, go ahead. You can send me a text because I'll look there too. Yeah. And actually there are listeners that do have my phone number, and they can attest to the fact that I actually do respond to my texts.
I want to attest to the fact that Jeff has messages notifications set up on all his devices. So if you want to turn his desk into a casino, be sure and text him, because all three of his things will go off at the same time, and his watch. So
actually, it's more than three, because it will be my Mac, my iPhone, three iPads, an iPod Touch, and an Apple Watch.
All right, so there, text winner six, winner one, chicken six, dinner to
612-555-0111.
No, it's 867-5309. Everyone knows that's my number. And
I saw your number on the wall.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That was awesome. Hey, we have a sponsor today. And that sponsor is Bushel. And what I love about Bushel is that they have made it drop dead easy for me to make sure that all of my mobile devices, meaning that whole inventory of iPads and iPhones that I just rattled off to you.
Go off when you get a text.
Yep. I can keep all my settings in sync between all these devices, because I'm actually keeping track of all of that with Bushel. And then I also have the ability to keep track of my parents' iPhones. So when something happens, like I get the phone call that says, hey, I haven't done anything, but I can't get email. And then I push my dad's email settings back out to him, and he's like, hey, it's working again. And so I just accept the fact that he will always tell me he hasn't actually done anything to his settings, and that when I push his settings back out to him, everything will work again. And this is how I keep family harmony. It's all thanks to Bushel. So
and your own mental health, I might add.
Oh yeah, that's
because that's
a big
what
thing.
It does for me is it saves me the initial round of questioning about, you know, have you updated your operating system? I don't remember which laptop you have. all of those things that go into, like, help me remember which device it is that you're actually calling me about, and then to be able to actually help someone with them. So for me, that's been like the super time saver, is just being able to see all of that at a glance before I start talking somebody through how to change Facebook back to English on their iPad or whatever.
It's just wonderful. I also love that it's so inexpensive. Bushel is free for up to three devices, which is great, because if all you want to do is keep track of your parents' devices, then there you go. You're set. If let's say you have a small business and you need to manage the three or so devices that you have for your business, here's an easy and inexpensive way to do it. If you have more than three devices, each additional device costs $2 a month. So it doesn't cost very much to manage a whole slew of devices. And it's just so easy to use. Just a simple web interface, and you can manage everything. It's just wonderful. I love it. So go check them out and sign up for your account so you can have three devices for free. That's bushel.com/TDO, bushel.com/TDO. And you're going to be really happy that you did this. Trust me. When I first heard about the service, I was like, oh, it's going to be a pain to set up, and then trying to get my parents on it.
Mobile device management is traditionally that way. It's super, super overkill. It's for people who really have to manage triple digit or quadruple digit numbers of devices. That's usually who mobile device management is aimed at. And that's the thing that's special about Bushel, is that it's for single digit, double digit numbers of people.
Yes. And getting my parents set up was easy. All I had to do is give them this special URL that expired after a couple days. And then they went to the URL, and it let them do the link in from their side with just a couple taps. And then I had access to their devices and was able to start setting up their configurations for them. And it was just easy, just easy, easy. So hit their website, bushel.com/TDO, and sign up for your account and start managing your devices much easier and make your life easier. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor. Okay.
Jeff, John. Before we go on, can I read you something real quick from the FCC?
Sure.
While you were doing the commercial for Bushel, I checked it out. I'm at FCC.gov, and we'll put the link in the show notes. And it says, placing telemarketing calls to wireless phones is and always has been illegal in most cases. Some campaigns suggest that there is a separate do not call cell phone registry, which you must call to have your wireless number covered by do not call rules. This information is inaccurate.
Oh,
so there you go.
Thank you for arming me with knowledge, because I am going to wield this hammer.
Oh, there's a file complaint number, and there's a online complaint link.
I have it on excellent authority that knowing is half the battle.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Sorry for the interruption. This commercial announcement is over.
All right. Well, now that we've resolved that, and thanks, that's very useful information. John, you found the ways that we can encrypt individual files on our Macs without having to use any tools, any third-party tools, just with what's built into OS X. And I'd love for you to explain that.
Well, you know, it's always annoyed me that this is the case, but it turns out that there are very few ways to encrypt a file with just the built-in tools with OS X. Now, of course, as we know, you can encrypt notes, and you can put password protection on PDF files. But if there's one single file that you want to encrypt, say a list of bank account numbers or passwords or something like that, email passwords or something you want to encrypt, that's private, and you want to get a tool that is built into Mac OS X without having to buy an encryption tool, turns out it's the slim pickings. And we think there's only two ways to do it from the meeting we had. And the first is using, as we well know, an encrypted DMG. And you may have seen DMGs before, because typically when you download or buy software, it comes in a DMG file. You double click it, it opens up amounts of volume, and there's usually a package installer in there that has all the files you need for your app, and you double click it and you run an installer and you've got your software installed. So you've probably seen DMG files. Well, there's a way with Apple's Disk Utility to create your own DMG file and encrypt it. So, and it offers strong encryption, 256-bit AES encryption, which is pretty good. And you can drop files into the volume and then unmount it, and it's all encrypted, and you're all set to go. But sometimes you may want to just encrypt a single file and, say, send it to a friend, like maybe it's a password to something, some account you share or something like that. And if you want to encrypt a single file, it's an email it or just keep it on your machine. There's resources to do that, but unfortunately you have to drop into the command line and use the OpenSSL command, which is part of the Unix system, is used to encrypt communications between with your web browser or your email client. So it's there, it's in the system, but you have to do some command line function. It's not really hard to do. You just have this little syntax and you select the 256 AES, and there's a couple little command line options, and then you have the input file and the output file, and you do this, navigate to the file you want to encrypt, and boom, it's 256-bit encrypted, and the original file is deleted for you. So that's nice. And if you're going to email it, you have to do something special, which I showed how to do in the article. But for just keeping it on your Mac, it's pretty secure. I didn't get into some of the technical details of what happens if you erase a file on your Mac, but maybe a future article will discuss that. So those are the only two ways that we know of to focus on a single file and encrypt it without buying extra software and built-in tools for most. It's too bad that Apple doesn't provide that. Now, there is a tool called Cocotec Pathfinder, which we all love, and Jeff uses it and I use it, and it has a command line GUI option to select a file and encrypt it with the zip command, but we don't recommend doing that because, as far as I know, Apple uses a weak encryption method when you put a password on a zip file, and that's not been updated for keeping backwards compatibility with other systems. So don't encrypt your files with a zip password.
All right.
That's the basics.
All right. So what it comes down to is, yes, we can do strong encryption on individual files in OS X, but realistically, you need to be comfortable with the command line to make that happen.
Yes.
Or you create an encrypted DMG, which is a little bit inconvenient, but you can still work with that. It's a little confusing because you have the DMG file, and then when you double click it, it mounts a volume. So you really have two things on your desktop. One's the encrypted DMG, and one is the volume that gets mounted, and you have to name both when you create them, and it's a little bit confusing, but I explain that in the article too.
All right. Well, I'll make sure there's a link to the article. And for people that are intimidated by the command line, then you can make an encrypted DMG. And actually, once you've done it, it's not that difficult. It's getting through it the first time is one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm not sure. But then you've done it and you're like, oh, that was easy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for doing that.
The case with most things on the command line, like for most people, the hardest part is digging into utilities and launching terminal in order to make that happen. So once you do that, and, you know, if you want to make sure that other people around you are sufficiently in awe of your command line skills, you can always change the default of the white background with black text to black background with white text, just so people know that you are familiar with the command line.
You can tell a person's a geek when they have the terminal in their dock.
That's right.
I actually don't have the terminal in my dock because I use an app called iTerm because it lets me have multiple sessions open in separate tabs, and that makes me really happy.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about iTunes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's in my doc.
Nice.
Nerdy nerd nerd.
Hey, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up.
Oh.
I know. I know. John, thank you for being here today.
Very welcome.
And Kelly, thank you for being here too.
My pleasure.
And listeners, let me know if you're chained to your iOS devices or not, and how you are dealing with all of that onslaught of information that's coming in. And then also, head over to bushel.com/TDO and sign up for your accounts so that you can start managing up to 3 devices for free. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. You really want to do this. Bushel.com/TDO. Thank you for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone tomorrow.